Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. It's a new year and time to look ahead at what the experts are predicting for the real estate market in 2019. We're going to hear what a lot of folks think via some great articles and some live interviews today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms, with the, as usual, financial strategist, co-host, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's always good to talk real estate, and we got a lot of it planned for this year. And a show we don't always do, but we like to do, is a prediction show, kind of look ahead. Now, Russ and I are not necessarily owners of crystal balls, but instead we look out at the horizon and see what people are thinking, what are they saying. We talk to a lot of folks, and today we've got three guests who are all going to share some of their predictions for 2019. Before we get to that, though, we thought we'd do kind of a roundup of what some people are saying. But, you know, Russ, why is it important for people to understand what other professionals think about the coming year?
Well, I mean, I think there's two main reasons. One is real estate is a long-term commitment to a marketplace, to a property, and to financing. And so just kind of understanding what's coming so you can put yourself in the best position or perhaps the most favorable position as you're moving into an uncertain future. You know, no one can predict the future, but you try to anticipate, put yourself in the best position. So I think that's number one. I think number two is to really see the whole picture. You have to get different perspectives. You know, they call it doing a 360. So there are some people that really isolate and focus on one particular aspect of the economy. It could be interest rates and the bond markets. You could have people who specialize in a specific product niche like apartment buildings or new housing, which is very different than things like commercial or retail or industrial. And so because real estate really isn't an asset class, even though people want to say that it is, there are certain things that are going on in the economy that affect one segment or one niche differently than others. And so, you know, when you listen to the news, most of the financial news you hear are people talking about what's going on in housing, because that's how their audience views real estate. And most of the people who own real estate in that demographic own it as a personal residence or maybe a second home. Very few people are serious real estate investors. Of course, people who listen to our show are much more serious about real estate and real estate investing. And I think the reason we have a niche in the world is because we take the time to go seek out ideas and information and put it through a filter that really relates back to that mom and pop investor in the street or that syndicator, that mom and pop syndicator out there who's putting together, you know, $3, $5, $10 million deals.
Absolutely. And I think at the beginning of the year, you want to get kind of a feel of what the experts, you know, see coming. And again, nobody has a crystal ball. So we look back and we say, oh, this person was right. This person was wrong. They called it. They didn't. Your mission is not to figure out who has the right answer. It's to be acquainted with the conversations that are happening. So I think we'll start, given that preface there, I think we'll start with housing. And always good information from the National Association of Realtors. What you have to realize is that they're generally pro-real estate and they are focusing on houses. But I think there's some telltale signs in NAR's work. They've come up with a whole report that you can read. And the summation is that inventory will continue to increase in 2019, but unless there's a major shift in the economic trajectory, we don't expect a buyer's market on the horizon within the next 5 years, Unfortunately for buyers, it's only going to get more costly to buy in 2019, especially in the most demanded entry-level real estate. Now, for buyers, they're saying it's going to be an expensive undertaking because prices are inching up, not careening out of control, but also mortgage rates. Now, as far as sellers, they suggest that although it remains a seller's market, sellers will need to be mindful of their increasing competition and shouldn't necessarily expect to name their price and get it in full, which is a change from the past few years in many markets. Some of the big trends they talk about: modest inventory gains will continue with high-end inventory growth spreading. They see some soft home sales continuing in certain areas and in certain demographics. And they think that millennials will purchase the most homes in 2019. And then their fourth point, tax planning remains a wild card for housing. Now, NAR has gone as far as to say that the single-family home housing starts will be up 8% by the end of the year. The home ownership rate is targeted at 64.6%. Mortgage payments, not mortgage rates, but mortgage payments up 8% by the end of the year. And existing home median price appreciation up 2.2%. They're also estimating that mortgage rates at year's end will be 5.5%. So that's kind of a quick synopsis, and we went through it quickly about what NAR says. And in the U.S., that's kind of the National Housing Group. Now, we talked about mortgages in there, and certainly everyone understands the importance of mortgages and mortgage rates and mortgage availability when it comes to financing property, whether it's held for investment or at your residence. And so let's look over to the mortgage reports. They interviewed a number of people, and we're just going to kind of go through who some of these folks are so you know where they're coming from, and then kind of the bullet points on what they're saying. Rick Sharga, who's Executive Vice President of Carrington Mortgage Holdings, says home price increases should be smaller than we've seen in recent years. Evan Stewart, who's a realtor at Compass, says home sale prices will continue to stabilize across the board. He says we're going back to more of a standard market in 2019. Robert Johnson, who's a finance professor at the Heater College of Business, says sale prices will decrease as interest rates climb further. So as it costs more to finance a house, he suggests a price increase. And Mike Pappas, who's the CEO of the Keys Company, says listings at the entry-level markets will remain tight, so lower-priced inventory. Garrett Chadney, who's a principal broker of the Broker Network, says many markets will see only 1% to 3% home growth. Brent Jennings, founder and realtor at the Brent Jennings Real Estate Expert, says sellers will need to make price reductions. So quite a wide variety of there. Now, that's mostly talking about residential. And I think we'll turn our sights over to what some of the commercial forecasters are saying. There was an article in the Real Estate Journals about this commercial event that happened, the State of the Market panel. And there were 12 panelists who all concurred that 2019 was likely to be a pretty great year for commercial real estate. So sometimes we hear commercial real estate and we think, well, you know, retail's terrible because everyone's buying online. Well, that's true in some areas, but there's some retail development that is going gangbusters. So it's very market specific here. But they cited the fact that industrial is strong and continues to be strong, that, you know, despite what you hear in the news, there is some new manufacturing and construction and development base. And we're seeing some companies in distribution look for large installs and look for a lot of property, and that commercial rates, what landlords in the commercial space, industrial, office, etc., are asking, are inching up. So, interesting. Now, nobody knows for sure, but there's a lot of points on the curb there.
Well, I think one of the things to take into consideration is there have been some changes both in the tax code in the U.S. And primarily through this whole opportunity zone thing that's going to be pushing money into investment type property. And so right out of the gate, there's a big difference between homeowners and houses and the way homeowners think and the incentives for them and the incentives that real estate investors get. Anybody that follows Tom Wheelwright and Rich Dad and Robert Kiyosaki, when they talk about the cash flow quadrant, you know that all the tax benefits accrue to the people on the B and the I side, the business owner and the investor side, as opposed to the E and the S side where the homeowners live. So the thing is, when housing gets expensive, and mortgage rates go up, it actually pushes people out of the housing market, and pricing moderating and inventory being tight at the bottom tells me that the probability is more people are going to be renting. We're more and more a renter nation. So if you're interested in residential, sounds like things are actually looking pretty good. When you look at the commercial side, it seems like a lot of money is going to be flooding in. There should be a lot of opportunity. And hopefully some equity will be happening there because of the competition for available projects. But they're obviously two very different markets with very different drivers, both at the legislative and tax level and also at the street level in terms of who the people are and where the money comes from and why they're motivated to buy.
Joseph Ory, who is the managing director at Paramount Capital Corporation, did some research on the commercial side of things as well. And here are his top predictions for 2019 when it comes to commercial real estate. Number one, industrial markets will continue to sizzle. The industrial real estate markets have been strong in many areas. He sees that continuing. Apartment rents will continue to moderate. So we've seen apartment rents decreasing a little bit, and of course cap rates have come down because a lot of money is chasing apartments. He expects that to continue. He says that interest rates will continue to rise and that opportunity zones will draw billions in capital. A lot of emphasis on opportunity zones. One of our guests is going to speak about that today. We did a whole show on it. It's definitely something we're watching in 2019. He believes public REITs will generate solid returns this year, and he says Class B malls will also generate robust returns. That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. He says shadow CRE lenders will increase market share. So the non-bank CRE lending, commercial real estate lending market, should see increased activity and deal flow. And he says the tech slowdown will lead to lower Northern California housing prices. Right now, the median price of a single-family home in San Francisco is almost $1.5 million. That's crazy. From a couple of guys that hail from the Bay Area, that's a lot. So there's some ideas. What we're going to do next is we're going to survey some folks in our world and get their opinion on predictions. We've got three great guests today who are going to chime in on where the real estate market is headed in 2019 when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you looking to create sustainable wealth through agricultural real estate? Then look no further than Agro Nosotros. They're a sustainable specialty agriculture company with specialty coffee farming operations in Panama and fine flavor organic chocolate operations in Belize. Over the last 4 years, they've helped ordinary people to diversify outside of traditional real estate and into offshore agricultural real estate. They don't have your typical tenants, termites, and troubles. Their tenants are trees, and they grow and produce two hugely popular and proven products, coffee and chocolate. Through Agro Nosotros, you can own half-acre parcels in your very own specialty coffee or organic cacao farm, turnkey managed on your behalf, that produce passive cash flow for you and your heirs. And you can feel good about where you put your money to work. Agro Nosotros has socially sustainable programs that provide living wages, improved accommodations, and a steady channel to market to literally hundreds of farmers. And so far, they've placed 61 kids in school. To find out more and see how you can get involved, email agro@realestateguysradio.com. That's agro, A-G-R-O, at realestateguysradio.com. Forbes rated Memphis the best cash flow market in the nation. And our good friend Terry Kerr at Mid-South Homebuyers has been the premier turnkey rental property provider in Memphis for over 13 years. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, Terry has renovated over 750 houses. Real Estate Guys listeners have snapped up hundreds. Discover what these satisfied investors already know. Mid-South's properties are completely renovated with a one-year warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're affordable, well-managed, and easy to own. Perfect for beginning investors and veterans alike. Get in on the action. Contact Terry and his team via email at midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Ken McElroy. I listen to The Real Estate Guys, and so should you.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Now in our 21st year of broadcast, it's our 2019 predictions panel. What the experts are saying about how the year is going to shape out in terms of real estate. The gentleman you're about to meet is a guy I've been following a long, long time. He specializes in helping folks in the new home industry understand the trends. From John Burns Consulting, let's say hi to John Burns. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to finally meet you in person.
Thanks.
I've been on your email list, it seems, forever and watched your company blossom into this amazing company. You've got a podcast now, New Home Insights, and always in my email, you're telling me about the trends, and we're trying to figure out what's going to happen for 2019. Tell us, what are some of the trends that you're seeing for the new year?
Well, let's see. First of all, I'm highly confident you're not going to see construction grow very much. There's if you add up all the home builders in the top 30 markets, they've only got 1% more actively selling communities than a year ago, so they're not going to grow, and the labor and is still short, so we're not going to see a lot of construction.
Okay.
And you throw into that the fact that sales have slowed dramatically all year long. It's been a steady slide all year long, but it really hit the skid starting in June. I think people are cautious appropriately. So I think you're going to see cautious behavior next year.
All right. Now, I know a lot of what you guys study is what's happening in the new home building arena. And you counsel builders. They're interested in your opinions on this. So what do you think that the builders are paying attention to if they know they're not going to be building a lot more houses?
They're paying attention to a lot of stuff. Labor message has come loud and clear. So there's a lot of discussion on offsite construction and just being more efficient, starting with panelization. And I think the building products companies and the service providers are going to do most of it, but they're studying that carefully. Clearly, Amazon and Apple and Google want to be not only on your smartphone and in your car, but with you in the house. So there's a lot of smart home technology coming into the homes. And they're actually doing a lot of really cool things, making the air quality better inside the house, and Wi-Fi certified, high speed in every corner of the house. And so I think they're pivoting toward being just a better experience in a new home and in a real home. And they're also pivoting down in price point. So we're seeing them going a little higher density, more homes per acre, a little lower spec level in the homes, maybe a little further out, not to the exurbs, but maybe another exit or two on the freeway, just trying to get their price points down.
Now, it used to be that the American dream was to own a home, but today a lot of folks are okay with renting homes. We're at a conference where there's a lot of folks talking about build to rent. What kind of trends are you seeing in terms of home ownership?
Well, home ownership's been ticking back up. Every survey, including ours, says people want to own. Some things have changed, though. As you said, that there's not a stigma to being a renter anymore. Now you can rent a house from a professional company. That's what this conference is that we're at right now, instead of just some doctor who might be in Cancun when the roof leaks. So there's some better opportunities to be renters. And the millennial generation, or those really born in the 80s who are ones who are coming into home ownership right now, saw firsthand what a recession looks like, and they think they associate recessions with foreclosures. Do I want to have a 30-year mortgage, and maybe while I lose my job? So although I really think they do want to be homeowners, I think they're approaching it cautiously.
Now, one of the things we have to look at as real estate investors, of course, are the big shifts that do happen demographically. In fact, you wrote a book about this.
Called Big Shifts Ahead.
So, there you go.
Yeah, so we think the demographics are about a 7% tailwind to housing demand. And to boil it down and keep it really simple, we define the generations by decade born. So 10-year periods, we're comparing 10-year periods to 10-year periods. Everyone knows what year they were born. So 44 million people born in the 1980s, 44 million people born in the 1990s. That's more than the 41 million born in the 70s and 43 million born in the 60s. So that's your tailwind, and that's very easy to count. And there should be some growth there from immigration, but that's a bit of a wild card and how much of that we're going to see. And they're more college educated than any generation before, and they've pivoted to more of a service economy and a skilled worker economy too. I think they're going to have the financial means to become homeowners. It's just going to take them longer because the economy's been growing more slowly, and as I mentioned, some of them have some reticence on debt. Particularly the ones that have a lot of student debt to go with that education.
Absolutely. Now, many of the folks on this year's prediction panel are watching interest rates carefully. And that's not necessarily your expertise, but if interest rates go up dramatically, how does that affect home builders?
Well, I think that's been the primary reason home sales have slowed all year long. 100% basis point increase reduces your ability to get a mortgage by 7%. So it takes a big bite out of the market. I think the one thing that's underappreciated, though, is the move-up market. Because so many people have a 3.5% fixed rate mortgage, they want to buy a new house, but I have to give up my 3.5% and go get a 4.8. Right. Not only is the home 20% more expensive, the payment could be 40 or 50% more expensive. We actually did some research on this. We think about a quarter of the people I just described are probably going to stay put as long as rates stay up close to 5%.
All right. Well, it's been great having you on the program. If you want to know more about John Burns Consulting, just go to realestateconsulting.com, get on their email list, and they've got a lot of great paid services as well. It's been a pleasure to meet you, and thanks for
your
participation today.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's John Burns. We're talking about the predictions for 2019. More when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
All aboard! Registration is now open for the Real Estate Guys 17th Annual Investor Summit. Imagine spending 9 days with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Returning in 2019 are sales legend Tom Hopkins, international developer Beth Clifford, authors of Prosper, Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart, and the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Also back is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, Brian London, and Jim Rohn's 18-year business partner, Kyle Wilson. And joining us live and in person for his 7th Investor Summit in a row, Peter Schiff. Plus, lots more to be announced. It all begins March 15th, 2019 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and reserve your spot. This transformational week is like no conference you've ever attended. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 17th Annual Investors Summit at Sea.
Hi, this is Anthony Melchiori from Hotel Impossible, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We've got a great year planned for you this week. It's our predictions for 2019. Some great guests, some great ideas. Before we get back to those interviews, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia. Your chance to win a prize by knowing today's Real Estate Trivia question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, send your best guess via email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer is going to get an awesome book called Purpose, Passion, and Profit, a collection of great stories that you're going to dig. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we had a market spotlight on Kansas City, Missouri with Patrick Grayson. Here was our trivia question. The song Kansas City was written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller back in 1952 when it was first recorded by Little Willie Litfield. But it wasn't until 7 years later, in 1959, that the song became a number one hit. Who was the singer of the number one hit, Kansas City? The answer, Wilbert Harrison. And the song Kansas City became one of Lieber and Stoller's most recorded songs with more than 300 versions. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Name the only U.S. state capital that doesn't have a McDonald's. Yep, of all the 50 capital cities in the U.S., there is only one that does not have a McDonald's restaurant. If you think you know what it is, or maybe you live there, send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and the answer to the question. And if you're the first one with the right guess, you'll get Purpose, Passion, and Profit. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're taking a look at what's going to be happening in 2019. And the next person I'm going to introduce you to is a long-term friend and fellow podcaster. Please welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio show, Kathy Fecky. How are you?
Wonderful.
Well, it's good to have you here, and it's always good to hear your voice. I feel like we see each other more than we do because I hear you practically every day. So that's good stuff. Now, you're in a lot of markets. You're in a lot of product types. It's a brand new year. What do you see for 2019?
Well, I always look for opportunity. That's my favorite. And as you heard me say today on the panel, got to follow jobs, where are jobs going? And it, no matter what the global economy is doing, there's always certain companies that are thriving, certain cities that will thrive through a recession or through a boom. So those are the areas you want to be in. And that's what we'll be looking at this year. But in addition to that, that's already what we do, follow the jobs and get into areas that haven't quite popped yet. They will because of the job growth. But you could still buy cheap, improve the neighborhoods, get cash flow, but then also get some equity too, which I know you and I both love.
Yes, indeed. Equity happens if you do it right.
Equity happens, but now there's a kicker. These areas that we've already been investing in, areas we've already been improving, now we don't have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
It's so fantastic.
You guys have dove pretty deep into opportunity zones.
Yeah, we are all about opportunity zones this year. 2019 is the year to get in because we'll have the rules now, and we know how to play the game. And there's a short window to get in, but there will be neighborhoods flooded with investor dollars worldwide of people trying to take advantage of these tax benefits. And when you get into an area where there's a lot of money going in, a lot of improvement, you're going to see equity happen.
Well, one of the great things about this is you're able to attract an investor that previously wasn't interested in these types of neighborhoods.
Yes.
Solely because of the amazing tax treatment, the deferral on the gains they've already made, and no tax going forward. So that's pretty strong. So how do you take the knowledge that's coming, and we've got this great tax incentive, and then marry that to where our true opportunity is, because not every opportunity zone is necessarily a great investment.
Well, you bring up a really good point. You can sell a stock today, you could sell a business and take the capital gain and invest it into an opportunity zone. Now you do, if you hold it for 7 years, you only pay 85% of the gain on that instead of 100%. But on the new investment, if you hold it for 10 years, you don't pay any gain on federal tax on that gain. So you're right. People will be selling stocks and getting into real estate, and they don't understand it. And as you and I both know, that is a recipe for failure, to have a lot of money and not know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You might not have that money much longer. So there will be people investing in deals that maybe don't make sense because they don't understand them. And you've got to be careful that where you're investing makes sense, so that if people around you are making mistakes, it won't affect you. So what does that look like? That looks like being, again, near jobs, being in areas where there's more happening there than just your money. You've got government dollars going in to revitalize. You've got maybe new freeways going in, new hospitals, new infrastructure, so you know something good is happening. Kind of like when you and I were investing in Texas, I back when nobody else was.
Right.
People thought we were nuts and crazy, and maybe we are, but it worked out, right?
It turned out pretty good. Well, this is a good point, because this is the kind of strategies that you've employed anyway, looking for markets that are maybe a secondary market, or a market that has got on the edge of where development is, and now you overlay that with governors essentially of the state saying these are the areas we want to see dollars directed.
Yep.
Now all that does is make it a stronger reason for people to want to get involved.
You know, you need the city on your side, right? You know, and you want their money, but you also want their approval. So there are certain opportunity zone areas where not only are you getting the tax break, the federal tax break, you're getting tax credits from they want these areas improved. There's a little area right in Henderson, downtown Henderson, where if you buy a house, maybe a $120,000, $150,000 house, and you turn it into a fourplex, you get a $100,000 rebate. So, I mean, you know, these are the kinds of things you want to look for, but make sure that you're not getting too far ahead of yourself, in that you want these areas to be gentrified within 10 years, because that's when you get the tax benefit. So you don't want to be buying in the middle of Nevada where nothing's happening out in the desert and think that in 10 years that area is going to be improved. It takes a lot longer than that.
Well, I mean, you made a good point on the panel today, which is the whole premise of this is you have some time, this 7 to 10 year window, which means you can do things that aren't necessarily get in and get out. But I think what you said to the gentleman is, if your area is not going to improve for 30 years, well, then this isn't the right vehicle.
Yeah. And it does sometimes take a while. If there's high crime, if you're not seeing the jobs coming into that area, it's going to be very difficult to see any kind of improvement over time. So we spend most of our time finding out where our jobs going. Another example, people don't know that Netflix is moving to Albuquerque. That's a market that we weren't too sure about until now, because we're really seeing the film industry go there. And that's interesting. It's expected to have $1 billion business there. So I'm giving my secrets away here on your show, but Albuquerque Albuquerque. It's on our list now because we're seeing big jobs moving there and jobs that are there to stay. I think even in a recession, people want entertainment.
Well, and I think in addition to opportunity zones, we're also seeing some big trends. I mean, overall, unemployment is low. Interest rates are up. How do you see that playing out for 2019?
I used to think I was fairly good at predicting, and ever since this new administration, I don't know what's going on. When Trump was running for office, he said the stock market was in a bubble. Well, of course, it's increased so much since then. So I would say the most important thing to keep your eye on is corporate debt, because a lot of the returns that we're seeing in the stock market are based on massive debt that may not be able to be paid off. And a lot of these companies that are valued, you know, the unicorns or the tricorn, whatever, the, you know, they're billion or trillion dollar companies, they haven't seen a profit. And this is usually not a good combination. Just like when you and I were kind of dealing with the aftermath of 2008 and all that went on there, it was such a little Achilles heel, right? Yeah. It was little mortgages, little white picket fences. How could that take the world economy down? Some people saw it because it was a debt problem, debt that people couldn't pay back. Well, we have that same problem, but now it's corporations. What will happen if they can't pay their debt back? So, you know, if you're investing in an area where there's major employers that have good balance sheets, that aren't going to go out of business and fold, then you're in good shape. Let's talk about Tesla for a minute. We're investing in Reno. We know that there's a battery plant there. Now, is right. Tesla going to make it? I don't know. But I've heard, and this is what gives me confidence, that I believe it was Amazon or Google, one of the big companies said, hey, if they go down, we'll buy them. So, you know, that there's confidence there. But
well, this is one of the great things about real estate, right? You go around a market and you look at the buildings that are 50 years old. Yeah. And whoever's occupying that building might not be the original tenant. In fact, the business that started there might be completely gone, but the real estate is still there.
Yes.
But that means you got to buy in the right marketplaces. There's got to be good infrastructure, access to transportation, all those things. But and we always talk about looking beyond the current tenant. I might find a property and the tenant makes a lot of sense, but I have to think, what happens when this tenant, business, or person, or whoever moves out? Who's next? So emphasis on jobs is huge, and I've been looking at that for a long time. And then it's not any job. It's the right kind of job that makes sense for a buy and hold investor.
Yeah, absolutely. Our economy, our world is changing so quickly thanks to the Silicon Valley and high tech. And, you know, you wouldn't necessarily want to have a taxi company today, right? And even the hotel industry is threatened by Airbnb, and there's lawsuits. You know, cities are suing Airbnb, and Airbnb, you know, it's you can't fight change. And so you might be concerned about investing in a bookstore before Amazon.
Right.
Things didn't go so well. So you've got to know that today is no longer a place where you can just invest your money and forget about it for 30 years. I'm not sure if that was ever a good idea, but today you need to pay attention to where things are headed. And in the next 10 years, I don't know what this world's going to look like. I think you might have heard me say before, I might be flying my car to work, and I'm excited about that. So what would that do to real estate if people can fly to their homes? Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but who knows? The world is changing so quickly. You'd need to stay on top of it and make sure that the jobs in your area where your real estate is located, that those are jobs that are here to stay. Some of what we're seeing in the retail space, you know, there's the retail apocalypse is what people are calling it, because of Amazon. You know, what are people doing with those spaces? Well, you know what you're seeing? Nail salons, massage centers. I just went to this place called Modern Acupuncture, and it's a new chain where you could just go in and get your acupuncture like it's the most normal thing in the world.
Hard to get acupuncture or massage online,
right?
So there are certain things that absolutely you have to go. And your point about entertainment, and no matter when economies are good, economies are bad, people do want to have fun. They want to go out and be entertained.
Yeah.
So paying attention, it's a lot to pay attention to, but we appreciate that you're one of the folks that's out there doing it. So thanks for sharing with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
There's Kathy Fecky from Real Wealth Network. She does a couple of podcasts, one every day. The news podcast is awesome. Thanks to Kathy. We'll have more predictions when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. but take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the Perpetual Wealth Strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hi, I'm Aaron Katusa, the chairman of Katusa Research. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Happy New Year. It's a brand new, shiny, clean year. And we're thrilled to listen to what some of our friends and experts are saying about what the new year holds for us. 2019 is upon us. And let's say hello to the next gentleman who's going to weigh in on the predictions panel, our good friend, the apartment king, Brad Sumrock. How are you?
Hey, Robert. Happy New Year. I'm great. Happy to be here.
Well, always good to see you, my friend. And I know things are great in multifamily, but we're here at the beginning of the year. And as you do every year, you kind of look forward and kind of make some predictions, if you will. What do you see big picture wise for 2019?
Well, I'm still proceeding. I'm proceeding with caution. There's a lot of indicators that multifamily is going to continue to be a good asset to be in going into 2019. And, you know, I get asked a lot, you know, because I've been doing this since 2002. And so I've been through that down cycle that happened at like the end of 07, 08, and 09.
Yep.
And I get asked like, well, what are some of the things that happened in 07 and 08? And are some of those things happening again right now? Well, one big difference is that back in 07, there was a 2.6 million unit surplus of housing,
right?
Which means that, you know, and that's single family and multifamily combined. So there was an oversupply. And right now, going into the early parts of 19, we have a 2 million unit shortage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more demand for housing than there is supply.
Well, this is critical. Back in 2007, you had the builders who had free money and they were building all kinds of stuff, a lot of single family houses that never got occupied. Multifamily, when you build new multifamily, it's usually because there's a demand in the marketplace, but construction money was cheap, labor was available, land acquisition. And so we saw this surplus of units more than we had in a long time. Fast forward to today, we haven't seen the same amount of money available of new projects get off the ground. And so if you look at the projection of population and the projection of housing units, we got trouble coming. We're going to have a shortage.
Yeah. So that's going to continue to fuel demand for multifamily renting. And the other thing, the building that is happening is mostly in that Class A luxury space in the urban cores. Like here in Dallas, you see cranes all over the place. You know, and we see it in Phoenix and Atlanta and Orlando and Tampa and all the, you know, the hot markets. You see all those Class A properties being built. And so when people talk about oversupply in multifamily, they're talking about in that A luxury class where we're already seeing some signs of concessions, but that's not really happening in the B and C space. I mean, nobody goes and develops a C class property for working class people.
No. And instead, what happens is you've got the demand for the units that were built 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And folks like you and your students come in and find those opportunities and often put some CapEx, some work into those units, get them turned around. And those are going to be great opportunities for this tenant base that we're talking about. Now, B and C tenants also think a little differently than those A-class tenants. The A-class tenants who are moving into these brand new apartment buildings are a little less sensitive to, say, changes in their income.
Yeah, and I was looking at an article the other day, and we talked about, they mentioned renters by choice. Okay, so renters by choice might be that couple that's making, or a person that's making six figures, and they just choose to be in an urban area that's very walkable. Well, on the B and C, a lot of the people are not renters by choice, okay? And there's a gap between the cost between owning a home and renting is actually increasing right now. I want to make sure I said that right, but it's $339, according to Marcus and Millichap, $339 more to own a home on average than it is to rent an apartment. And so, you know, for the family making $40,000 to $50,000 a year, which is my area of focus, that B and C class, $339 is a lot of money. So in 07, we saw so many people in that demographic buying homes.
Right, because they could with no money down.
Right. And now we're not seeing that. We're seeing that, you know, the lenders have maintained a little bit stricter requirements to buy a home and to get financing. And so we're seeing that demographic staying as renters. Okay.
And you know, the idea of renting by choice, too, that's an interesting one, because in addition to the affordability every month, the $339, which I can remember when the break-even analysis was almost on par, where, hey, the reason you'd want to consider renting is because you don't need the down payment. Well, that's still true today. Most first-time buyers are still putting down a chunk of money that they don't have to if they rent. Plus, I think just the flexibility, right? People that went through the last downturn and saw either what happened to them or, say, their peers, their parents, and are thinking, I don't need to own a home this moment in my career. I'm just fine to rent. And of course, when you own apartments, you welcome those people.
Yeah, and the tax laws have also impacted apartment sector to me double. Okay, so on the consumer side, there's less incentive to be a homeowner because there's lower deductions for home ownership, right?
Right. Yep.
And on the investor side, we get more depreciation faster as a result of the new tax laws that came into effect in 2018. So those things, again, it's fueling the demand and it's giving us better returns on our deals as investors.
Well, and I think we are seeing more investors look at kind of all real estate, but certainly multifamily. And of course, when that happens, as we've seen in the last few years, you get the cap rate compression, meaning that the cap rates are lower because people are willing to bid the price up higher. We spoke about this, I think, the last time you were on the show. How do you see that playing out as we go into the new year?
Well, I still see that, you know, and there is what I call new money that has been and continues to come into the sector because of all the things we've just talked about.
Right, and certainly the tax benefits are going to bring in more money, not less money, into this space.
Right, so there, you know, it's still a good sector. And at the same time, we used to look at maybe doubling or tripling our money in 3 to 5 years.
Right.
And to me, that, I mean, I hope it still happens, but based on our projections, we're not projecting deals to have that happen right now. You know, we're looking at if we can get cash on cash returns in that high single digit number and a total return after 5 years with a capital event, either a sale or a refi, where we get additional equity out of the deal so that your total return is about a 70 or 80%, including cash flow and capital.
Yep.
That's what we're looking at on a 5-year hold right now. And we're still seeing deals that meet that criteria. And just in, you know, in the past year, 2018, I've helped people buy 52 apartments, 7,700 doors in 15 different states. So we're finding deals that meet that criteria. Now, if you're expecting to 3x your equity, you know, in a 3-year period, like kind of happened in the past few years, I don't see that happening going forward.
You know, on the Investor Summit this year, Brad, you made a great point, which is that as the market changes, investors have to temper their expectation. When things are great and you can 3x your money, well, do that. But when things are slower than that, it doesn't mean that you get out of the game. It means that you just have to realize there's a season for lower returns. There's a season for higher returns. The key is to stay in the game.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like the deals that I've done over the past few years that have 2 or 3x their equity in a very short period of time, we didn't project that to happen, okay? Because nobody knew that rent growth was going to be 8 to 10%, right? Nobody knew that cap rates were going to go down. So I believe that the people that have had those types of returns, they shouldn't be modeling those types of returns going forward. You know, there were deals that I passed up, and you know, one of the biggest mistakes, if you call it that, was if I had known how the market was going to perform, I would have bought everything in sight.
Right.
And the deals that I even advise my students potentially not to buy at certain prices, if I had known how the market was going to perform, I would advise them to buy everything in sight, right? We just didn't know. But, you know, what we are seeing now is we're seeing rent growth come down to a more historical number.
But still growing still, in most places.
Still growing and, you know, still positive job growth, healthy economic drivers. And so, again, I'm seeing that the returns are going to be more along the lines of a historical expectation as opposed to what happened in the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think there's another thing, which is you mentioned the new money coming in. And we do see people that get interested in real estate as it gets hot. And certainly there's a lot of folks today that are maybe thinking for the first time that they want to get into multifamily. And you know that group well, because a lot of your students are folks like that who maybe have invested in single family but don't invest in apartments yet. Or they've been stock investors and now because of maybe the tax incentive, they want to be apartment investors. I think this bodes well for the case to be made that you need to be educated. If you've owned real estate before and you haven't owned apartments, it's a little bit different. The premise is the same. Someone lives in your building and pays you rent, but there's a lot you need to learn. So as an educator, I know you're not going to argue with this, but it does make sense today, probably more than ever, that before you invest in any asset class in the new year, you get educated about it.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was the same when I started 16 years ago. And I just feel like now it's even more important than ever, because I do believe in the past few years that you could have been made some more mistakes and because of the market performing so well that you could have been, and I say this in some of my seminars, you could have been average and still made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And going forward, I don't think that's going to cut it. I don't think being average and making mistakes on financing or on acquisitions or on management is going to be so forgiving. So I do believe that being educated and having a very strong team is going to be critical to success in 2019, 20, 21.
Which is almost always the prognosis in a new year. No one ever complains about too much real estate education. Hey, you just did a webinar, live webinar, that the replay is now available of your predictions in a greater quantity, if you will, including some specific markets that you like. And you've offered kindly to make that available to the Real Estate Guys listeners. So when we come back, we'll talk about how folks can access that. But just tell us about some of the things that maybe you talked about in the webinar that we didn't have time to cover today.
Well, I go into a little bit more detail about some specific markets that I like, you know, as we finished up 2018 and going into 2019, and why. I talk a little bit more about specific numbers that I'm seeing in the A, yeah, B, and C class, and secondary and tertiary and primary markets. So it's a lot of great content. It's about an hour, and I do that every year, and it's a very popular webinar that I conduct.
Yeah, I saw you had more than 1,000 people on the webinar, so that's awesome. And thankfully, Brad's team has captured the replay, and you can access that. We'll tell you how when we get back. Hey, speaking of education, you've got your Rat Race to Retirement coming up. That's a 2-day course on really soup to nuts on investing in apartments. If you've already done some apartment investing, you're going to learn a ton. But if you are brand new, green, never invested in multifamily, and you're interested, I would definitely strongly recommend that they attend. The next one, I think, takes place in March.
Yeah, March 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. The last few events we've had over 600 people from all over the country that really want to learn, you know, the basics of finding deals, building your team, analyzing deals, making offers, and how to be successful in today's environment. And it goes so much more beyond the education, because about 150 of those 600 people are Some Rock students. These are people that have already taken my training, bought deals. And so the networking at these events are also just totally phenomenal. I don't know a better place where you can get the ABCs of apartment investing, meet other experienced apartment investors. And we usually have about 8 to 10 providers. So lenders, attorneys, tax protest companies, insurance providers. So it's a great place to get educated, really accelerate your networking, and start building your team of multifamily service providers.
You get all the details on our site at realestateguysradio.com under events. Plus, Brad will be a featured speaker at the Secrets of Successful Syndication coming up in February. We're looking forward to a great year, and thanks for your predictions. Always good to have you in the program, Brad.
Awesome. Thank you.
There's the apartment king, Brad Sumrock. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Hi, I'm Steve Forbes. You're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Listen up.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Robert Kiyosaki's asset protection attorney and the author of Loopholes of Real Estate and Start Your Own Corporation. As an American or foreign-based investor in U.S. real estate, you know we are a litigious society. You know that you need to protect your real estate, paper, and bullion holdings with the right mix of LLCs and corporations. Our firm, Corporate Direct, not only forms these entities, but importantly, we properly maintain them too. If you fail to follow the corporate formalities, you can lose it all in an instant. Corporate Direct is your source for LLC protection and maintenance in all 50 states. Visit CorporateDirect.com or call 800-600-1760. Mention the Real Estate Guys for a free bonus. That's 800-600-1760 or CorporateDirect.com. We look forward to assisting you at CorporateDirect.com.
Hi, I'm Nomi Prinz, author of Collusion. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, if you ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, well, it is the time to sign up for the Secrets of Successful Syndication right around the corner, middle of February in Dallas, Texas. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. It's our predictions panel for 2019, what the experts and others are saying about the new year, and overall, it doesn't sound that surprising, Russell Gray.
Nope. I think the thing that's great about real estate, especially when in an environment where there's been so much stock market volatility, you know, I liken to what's going on right now in the market to what happened at the beginning of the 2000s with the dot-com bust. It's a lot more like that than it was in 2008. And I think people are looking at real estate and realizing, hey, you know what? I mean, the hot girl is a lot of fun, but the stability and the loyalty and the predictability of real estate, it's boring, but you can count on it. And I just think that there's going to be some money that is finding its way out of the stock market into real estate, not just because of the opportunity zones, but just to get away from the volatility. I think as people become more accustomed or more aware of the benefits of real estate, especially the baby boomers who are at that season in their asset allocation model where they're looking for predictable streams of income and a hedge against inflation. And I think another thing that they're not thinking about that they're going to be thinking about is hedges against counterparty risk. And when you look at those three things, real estate really fits the bill. So I just think that not only going into 2019, but probably for the next several years, real estate is going to be the recipient of a lot of inflows of capital for people who are looking for cash flows, hedges against inflation, tax breaks, and some stability in a very, very crazy world of volatile financial markets.
If you want to get together with a whole bunch of brilliant folks and talk about where this real estate year is going, then certainly make plans to join us at the 17th Annual Investors Summit at Sea. It's going to be extraordinary. There's a few cabins left, and you can hang out with the Real Estate Guys, our amazing listeners, and a who's who faculty. All the details on the website at realestateguysradio.com. Big thanks to John Burns, Brad Sumrock, and Kathy Fetke for sharing their views today, and all the folks who made their predictions. Got to be pretty bold to put a prediction out there. We'll see how it all shakes out in the new year. If you'd like to see Brad Sumrock's 2019 apartment forecast, simply send an email to forecast@realestateguysradio.com. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and I'm very excited about the next Real Estate Guys Summit at Sea cruise. And I've worked with Robert and his dad and Russell for I don't know how many years, 20-something years. Been friends all this time. We've always worked together. But coming up with something I've never ever talked about, and it's a concept called an infinite return. And once you understand an infinite return, it means you'll never need money. I'm going to have Tom Wheelwright, my accountant, because you have to have an accountant to do it. But it's probably one of the more sophisticated investment philosophies or strategies. It's something I've used since I've been 27 years old. And once you understand an infinite return, you'll never need money again. You don't have to pay taxes again. And you can never, ever say again, I can't afford it. So I look forward to seeing you on the Real Estate Guys Infinite Return Cruise this March. Thank you.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.